Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Klug, joined, as always, in studio by Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. And boys, this is our first time back on the horse after the excess and the decadence that was Live in Louisville. And we will get to that in a moment. But it's going to feel strange here, just kind of going back to the day-to-day grind of our jobs here on the Happy Rant. So this
feels a bit mundane.
It's mundane. It's just another workday, boys. You know, just another day doing radio for the three of us. But that said, we have a little bit of business to take care of, and it has to do with Lagaris Roasters coffee pipe. I am about to enjoy a hot steaming cup of Lagaris Roasters as we record. And Pipe, why don't you tell us about a little book giveaway situation that Lagaris has brewing this week?
Absolutely. So Lagaris does the Happy Rant signature roast, which we talk about regularly and drink probably more regularly than that. And today, or this week, while supplies last, we have a giveaway of the book Ever Present: How the Gospel Relocates Us in the Present by Jeremy Reitbull, who is a regular listener and one of the editors for Gospel Centered Discipleship, they are a blog and a publishing imprint, just providing essentially discipleship resources. So this is a book by him. So if you order a bag of coffee from Lagaris Roasters, which you can find at happyrantpodcast.com, you will get a free book with that order while supplies last. And there are 10 books, so my guess is they're going to go very fast. So jump on it. Go to happyrantpodcast.com, order your coffee, get a free copy of Ever Present: How the Gospel Relocates Us in the Present. And we'll actually have another giveaway in the future from Gospel Centered Discipleship, because they were so excited to partner with us that they gave us two titles. And this is the one for this episode.
Pipe, speaking of ever present, there's a guy kind of in our sphere, in our listenership here at the Happy Rant, who's sort of ever present on the internet and on social media. And
ever present.
Absolutely. And you and I both know who I'm referring to. It's one at Jared C. Wilson. And Big R, you were kind enough to point out a little Twitter beef that our friend at Jared C. found himself in this week with Carl Lentz, who I've never seen or heard of. But because I have this technology in my studio, I'm going to look up Carl Lentz right now and see what his glasses look like. Because Big R, you said his glasses were noteworthy.
Yeah, I think that was Pipe's call, but yeah, his glasses are rather large and noteworthy.
Whoa.
And so he's making some kind of they're so uncool, they're cool kind of like, yes, statement with his glasses.
And yeah, those are the kind of glasses people got punched for wearing in 1984.
Yeah, those are the kind of glasses that like your aunt was wearing in like 1981, and you were just like, yeah, okay, that's what aunts wear, right?
See, I wouldn't punch Carl Lentz for the glasses. I would punch him just for the way he looks otherwise, though.
Yeah. You're saying he's punchable.
He's very punchable. And he probably does his little, like, you know, 9-round kickboxing cardio class there in lower Manhattan. So he might be a little bit dangerous.
Does he wear Lululemon for men?
Yep. Oh, dude. Is that even a question, Pipe? Is that even a question?
He's probably got a merch deal with Lululemon, I'm thinking. There's a lot of opportunities.
That's the sponsorship he would pick if he could pick one sponsor.
Exactly.
Be Lululemon.
Of course. Yeah, of course. And the next time we don't have him on the show, we won't ask him that. But hey, Pi, my question for you is, where's Carl at? Like, I mean, dude, does he, obviously he's big mega Hillsong dude. Like, where does he go theologically? Like, where are we at with him? Like, what's his, do you have any background into his whole game?
You know, he finds himself at the fringes of controversy with some regularity, because there was some issues regarding homosexuality and marriage a few years ago and a lack of clarity there. This particular beef with one Jared C. was about a lack of clarity in an interview he did on a morning show, a TV morning show, about being pro-life and the question about whether or not abortion is a sin. I think he later clarified and said that he is definitively pro-life. He does think that abortion is sinful, but he was trying to draw a distinction between that and condemning people who have had abortions, because he wants to create a gracious environment in his church. But And then other than that, Hillsong is not a, let's call it a, not a doctrinally heavy church. It's built around worship. It's built around, I'd call it a little bit more prophetic and that kind of thing, but not something where they're digging into a lot of 5 points of anything.
Yeah, you're not seeing a lot of partnership between Hillsong and TGC or T4G. But then what's funny also about that is we're literally without any.
Well, real quick question: Does T4G or TGC do they partner with anybody?
Well, you know what
I kind of feel like. I mean. They are city on a hill.
Yeah, and by city on a hill, you don't mean city on a hill song. Let's just clarify that right now. But the other thing that's funny is you just literally said, I mean, you just literally said with no irony that this dude was on a morning show. So we are talking about a dude that is featured on a morning show.
Well, he's like pastor to celebrities,
right?
Because there are pictures of him like hugging it out with Justin Bieber and
he's
stuff
Bieber's
like that.
Dude.
He finds himself in a really interesting spot because my understanding of who he is that he seeks to be a faithful Christian, but he lives, he kind of walks in this place where you don't tell people that something is sinful. Like nobody tells celebrities that their lifestyle choices are wrong. And so he's navigating a really weird place. And, I don't follow him closely enough to know how well he does it, but
at the same time, yeah, but Jared C is not going. Jared C is not going to respond well to somebody who is not being just as blatant about the gospel as he should be.
Right. I mean, there is a sense in which I think Jared C believes that the gospel is offensive. But sometimes he might be a little offensive in his sharing of the offensive gospel, or at least a little aggressive. I know for a fact that he listens on occasion and that his wife and daughters listen more regularly. So shout out to the Wilson family. But he loves to pick the occasional Twitter gospel fight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jared, he loves a good
gospel fisticuffs are his.
Yeah,
thing.
He loves a good Twitter brawl. There's no doubt about that at all, man. But this one I thought was interesting because I forget how it caught my eye, but pretty soon, everybody's kind of coming against Jared C's comment about Lentz's comment. And then Lentz at one point gets on there, and I'm just paraphrasing right now, right? To use a pastoral word that we all love and cherish. But Lentz gets on there and essentially goes, "Oh, hi, Jared, Carl here," and Jared literally goes, "Oh, hey," or something like that, right? And it was just like, "Oh, wow!" So all of this bravado, and this is how it like comes together. Oh, hi, Carl. Oh, hi, Jared C. I just thought it was funny.
Well, the response that I saw from Carl was a little bit passive aggressive, where he's like, "Well, I guess the thing to do is to throw stones at somebody who's trying to be faithful in ministry or something along those lines."
Oh, is that
lines.
What it was? Okay.
And
okay.
So, I mean, I stopped at that point because one can only wade so far into a Twitter beef before you feel like you have to take a shower. But yeah, it was half amusing, half eye rolling. I'm sure that at least 7 people got saved because of it, because that's what happens when pastors fight on Twitter. Many, many good things come out of it.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Boys,
yeah.
Nothing is more winsome than pastors fighting on Twitter. I mean, really, this is what it's all about. I'm working on an alternate theory here, and that is...
Yeah, throw it down, baby. I want to hear it.
I think because at Jared C. Wilson maybe considers himself a celebrity, he was using this. He was using this alliance with Lentz to sort of get himself closer to the blue check.
My gosh. That's
you think
big.
This gets him closer to blue check status, boys?
That's big, Big T. I mean, that's saying a lot right there. That's a major statement that you just made right now about at Jared C. Because that
blue, guys, I just like to think about this stuff a little bit differently. You know,
well, I know, and we know that blue check has been a Joe Thorn in Jared C's side, right? I mean, that's not been a pleasant experience for Jared C. So
it's been blue thorn in his side. and actually, I've seen all of Carl Lentz's side because of all the shirtless pics of him on the internet.
So him and Justin?
There are no thorns in his actual side.
Yeah, he does not have or blemishes of any kind, actually. No body hair.
No, no, no
could
body.
A thorn even
incredible. He's amazing.
Could a thorn even stick into those kind of abs anyway? No, I mean, what are we talking about? The thorn just pop right out
of the abs.
He repels all thorns.
Hey, do you think if you grabbed Joe Thorne and you pushed him into Carl Lentz's side that Joe Thorne would stick in Carl Lentz's side?
No, Joe Thorne would bounce off. Because
would he bounce off like a bumble, like the bumble snow monster of the north? Would he bounce off pleasantly off of Carl?
He would because both of what Joe Thorne is made out of versus also what Carl Lentz is made out of. It would be a bouncing off situation.
Guys, you know what I would like to do at our next live event is I would like to get a life-size picture of Carl, a life-size picture of Joe Thorne, and just stick Joe Thorne into the side of Carl.
I love that.
I think that's a possibility, and I think we're starting to dream big again.
Yeah,
I think we're starting to dream big things again right now. Yeah.
It's fun.
Oh, we're starting to dream real big again.
I actually want to talk about another Wilson. Not Russell Wilson, not Mookie Wilson from baseball in the 80s.
Sure, sure.
I want to talk about Dougie Fresh, okay, Douglas Wilson. And
Careful now. This didn't go so well for us last time.
I wonder who would be at Douglas Wilson's thorn in his side.
Wow. Maybe I have no idea.
I think we know the answer to that, but I don't know that we want to keep going back to that.
I don't think we do, but I want to talk about...
Yeah, that was slanderous, Ronnie.
Yeah, boy, sometimes when you're in the media business, people will come at you because they didn't like or haven't understood a bit or a joke. And this happened to us, boys. So I want to talk about satire. And we got a Facebook message in the wake of our, I think, episode 2 live in Louisville bit about – no. That was a while ago. At some point, we did a bit about podiums and about Douglas Wilson and how he would be the podium for Rachel Held Evans. And we got a little bit of blowback from that. So Pipe, as our official – you're kind of the official – stenographer of this whole outfit. So why don't you talk us through what happened? Okay.
Well, first I'm putting stenographer on my resume immediately. Give me a second.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So we made a joke several episodes ago. We were talking about pastors and pulpits, and somewhere in the devolving of that episode or the evolving or the evolution, we landed on a joke where Rachel the Held Evans' dream podium would be a lectern placed on the back of Douglas Wilson on all fours, which we got a good laugh out of. I know some listeners got a good laugh out of. Well, a member of Doug Wilson's church shared this joke with him, and then I think in a later episode we actually made a further joke about Doug calling in to complain, which, for clarity, never actually happened. We don't actually have a call-in line at all, which is a good thing because we get lots of complaints. So somebody in his church went to him, brought this joke to his attention. He said, I don't even know who those guys are. I don't know what they're talking about, which led this person to come back to us and say, and essentially question whether or not we were being publicly honest or being dishonest for the sake of humor. And the word slanderous was used as a question of whether or not this was slanderous. Were we defaming Doug Wilson? And so that is how we arrived at the point of discussing satire, Doug Wilson, Rachel the Held Evans, lecterns, and Facebook messages.
Boy, that just brought a moment of silence between the three of us, didn't it?
I was actually sitting. I don't quite know what to say. You know, I'm a little bit taken aback by the whole thing, to be honest. Especially since I have zero dogs in the Douglas Wilson fight at all.
I did clarify with this listener and essentially say, We ride the horse of humor and absurdity and satire quite heavily. And so don't take some of the things we say completely seriously. But it raised the question for me of, do we need to clarify, like, what is satire? You know, we used to do trigger warnings fairly often. Mm-hmm. Do we need to do that? Do we need to have like a satire warning? If this was a visual medium, we could be like, you know, like in commercials, they're like, these are actors, not real people. Do not try this at home. Yeah. We need something like that for our more satirical bits.
I tell you, man, I've learned from my life as a newspaper columnist that you have to be freakishly clear with people about what's a joke and what's not. Last week, I wrote a column, kind of a satirical open letter to one of the small town police departments in the area because of their their video traffic ticket program. And people went bananas because they thought I was being serious. It was a mess. It was a huge mess. So in the future, I'm just going to write in all caps, this is satire above any column that could be even remotely satirical.
But dude, I just don't like that, man. I just feel like it's like people know what the program is. It's like something loses its funniness if you got to say, hey, everybody, we're going to say something funny now. You know what
I mean?
Yeah,
we're doing it's a like, bit. You know.
Right. And so, I mean, that just takes away from the purity of it too. What are you going to say, Pipe?
Well, here's the thing. Like in a non-Christian environment or a non-explicitly Christian environment, you can, so if you do satire, you poke some fun, create an entirely fictitious story for the sake of making a point or drawing out a joke or whatever it is. And people don't get it. Like that adds to the joke. You can actually laugh harder because it's funnier in that case. In a Christian environment, though, the preciousness and righteousness of the situation ruins that, because then it goes from this is more funny because people don't get it to, oh, now we need to go hug it out. Now we need to send apologies. Now we're being questioned on our integrity and our honesty. And so my question is, can you get away with satire in a Christian environment?
Yes.
Because inevitably you end up just stomping all over people's precious toes.
Dude, the question isn't whether we get away with it or not. We just do it whether we get away with it or not. I mean, questions, I think that's the answer, man. I mean, at the end of the day, when you're doing satire or you're doing humor, you are lying half the time. That's why it's funny. Humor is funny because it's taking truths and it's converting them to half truths. That's what makes it funny.
Is the goal to deceive people, or is like, because I feel like satire is not meant to deceive. Satire is meant to sort of give lie to something, to essentially be like, look how ridiculous this is.
No, so it's not meant to deceive.
Untrue for the sake of pointing truth.
No, when I say untruth or when I say half truth when it comes to humor or satire, it means you're exaggerating something that is true to make it funny and to like illustrate your point even more clearly or more overtly, right? So when we start talking about Douglas Wilson and Evans, that just illustrated a ridiculous point. I mean, what are you going to get? I mean, I don't know. G-Pipe, I don't know. I mean, are you going to get a text that somebody's offended that we literally thought we were going to stick Joe Thorne in the side of, you know, Carl Lentz?
I might get a text from Joe Thorne because he might not want to be stuck in Carl Lentz's
side.
You know
what? I'm not going to say right now that Thorne wants to be stuck to his side or not. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know what kind of day he's having with his boy Jimmy. The point is that people should understand like what the vibe is here.
Well, so who knows?
Well, we don't know anything about Joey Thorne. That's not the point. The point is that, man, we can't be qualifying what we're going. The program just dies if we have to qualify exactly what we say. I mean, that's it.
Yes, it very quickly becomes every other Christian podcast, meaning humorless and no fun.
Right. And dare I say, one reformed.
Whoa.
Pubcast.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but you did. So there we go.
I know. I'm sorry. Should I have explained that was satire and irony and that we actually don't have a problem with those guys and everything's cool and, you know.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Disclaimers make everything more fun. Next topic.
Absolutely. So, right. So that's all we're doing now. You know what? The rest of the app, let's just disclaim ourselves because that'll be a riot. That'll be funny. And, you know, we'll make everybody happy. And then, you know, we'll take it from there.
I want to know how many bags of chips and granola bars Ted's gone through while we're talking.
I fell asleep.
Yeah, Ted, you are real quiet, dude.
I'm back now. No, I'm back. I just wanted to let you guys vamp. That was really good. It was really well done.
Were you tweeting with Carl if you were a tweeter? Is that what you were doing right now? Were you just hanging with, doing a little texting with Carl Lentz?
Dude, yeah, I'm doing a little CrossFit with Carl, actually.
Are you making sure he's okay? Is our boy Carl okay, Big T? Can I ask you?
We're waxing each other's chests. Is that weird? Is that too much?
That's not weird. I just want to make sure he's okay and that you're not hurting him too much as you're waxing.
No, he's great. You know? Yeah, he's used to it.
Is he doing good? Yeah. All right.
He's been doing this for a long time, so he's good. I just want to let our listeners know one thing. We will never talk about Rachel Held Evans or Douglas Wilson in a way that's anything but satirical and funny. like if their names come out of our mouth, it's because we're trying to be funny. So I think that should clear up any misconceptions, don't you guys think?
Maybe.
I hope.
Yeah, I mean, I think if people need like a translation guide to the show, maybe I could write one of those up. Like maybe we just need to write it up. Like if you hear this, it means this.
We should put out a little pamphlet, a little PSA, yeah. It's a little help, a little Cliff Notes guide to
FAQ.
Happy Rant.
Yeah, I'm just so opposed. I just feel like we need to cancel this app now. We're giving away all of our trade secrets. We're apologizing. I don't even know who we are right now. I feel like we've lost our identity.
We didn't apologize for anything, did we?
I think we just had to qualify our dialogue between Dougie and Rachel. You know,
the only thing I'm sorry about is not making fun of Carl Lentz's appearance more.
So while Ronnie and I were vamping, you were just scrolling through Google images of Carl Lentz.
I was thinking of more funny things.
Give us your thoughts on Carl, man. Obviously, you've probably listened to a couple of sermons in the 5 minutes that we've vamped out about him. What's your take on him, man?
Yeah, I mean, you had time to listen to three. So.
Yeah, I did. I listened to 2.5 sermons.
Yeah, how was it, man? Did you say anything of importance for us?
Oh, it was incredible, incredibly profound.
Like him and Timmy Kay just like doing a team teaching thing is probably what it felt
like. They're
like
buds. They're kindred spirits. I actually ran into them at a hipster coffee shop in Manhattan not too long ago, so I didn't want to.
Was Timmy wearing like Carl Lentz glasses?
Timmy was wearing this V-neck that was so deep you could see like down to his navel. You know, so he's kind of rolling in the same fashion.
Retirement is treating him well.
Hey, Big T, really, here's a question for you, dude. Why don't you answer this for me, man? If when Carl Lentz and Timmy Kay write their next book, what do you think it's going to be called?
Wow.
Lentz and Keller. And I'm putting the L before the K.
Wow. Lentz gets top billing. That's huge, man.
I'm going to top bill Lentz. That's where I'm going to go with it. I'm going to roll with that.
Hot for Jesus by Carl Lentz with Tim Keller. Forward by Tim Keller.
You're doing a with.
Yeah, Timmy Kay's just doing the forward. He's not going all
out. He's the research assistant.
Okay. Yeah. Dude, here's my thing, man. So I consider myself, all kidding aside, like a pretty nice guy. Like I feel like I don't make a habit of going around making fun of people. But if someone is rich and super attractive and they know it, I will go after that person. You know what I mean? And I will have no conscience about it. And
yeah, petty jealousy knows no bounds.
Dude, exactly. Petty jealousy knows no bounds. And if you are rich and loaded, like I will come after you. So that's just where I'm at vis-a-vis Carl Lentz. Carl, it's nothing personal. I know he's a listener. I know he listens to all these episodes. I wanted to know that it's nothing personal. That's just like my own stuff, you know? So anyway, all apologies to Carl and the Lentz family, Mrs. Lentz, you know, baby Lentz. Baby apologies Lentz to all of them. I'm sure they're all very
Justin Bieber. Sorry for taking shots at your pastor.
Justin Lentz.
Bieber. Yeah. Biebs. All of that. But boys, I don't want to, far from ending this program, I want to go in a different direction with it. I don't want to end the program, and I also don't want to do anything new. What I want to do is rehash some old material and ask you guys what your favorite moments of Live in Louisville were. And Pipe, I want you to go first.
Oh man, favorite moments of Live in Louisville. I think, I think getting piles of swag and Ronnie getting piles of swag while Ted did not get piles of swag was somewhat of a high point. Listeners,
well, thanks for bringing that up. I just got a person though. I got Wayne. I basically got an adopted son.
Yeah, you
son.
Did. You have a surrogate Twitter account.
You did get.
I do. I have a surrogate Twitter account.
You have to do none of the tweeting. Yeah. You have to do none of the scrolling or the typing or anything. All you get to do is say words, and the solid gold that comes out of your mouth gets shared with the Twitterverse. So, congratulations!
You guys are probably you're rich with crap that you'll probably throw away, and I'm rich with relationships with Wayne. So you know, I mean, we've all won. True. We're all winners.
Having Wayne Grudem and Joel Beakey and who else was there? Squints from The Sandlot, and there was a whole bunch of celebrity sightings at this thing.
A lot of celebs. It was a real red carpet environment, Pipe. I'm surprised Carl Lentz wasn't there. You know, it was a good photo op. He could have taken.
He might have been in the back. He might have snuck in the back. Mm-hmm.
I think the Q&A episode that we did at the end. So for those who could not attend and who for whatever reason are behind on listening to the episodes, we recorded two episodes and then did a Q&A with listeners and attendees. And I think that was the most fun because we had no idea what questions were coming. We gave them no instructions as to what could or could not be asked. And so we got asked about heaven and we got asked about 90s action movies. And one guy did a pseudo spoken word kind of thing. And what else?
Which, by the way, Pipe, was super weird that the dude that like did the spoken word, like sort of like rap battle thing that he kind of launched into. Like, I think we were all so confused and taken back by
Caucasian. I think that's really what it was.
Well, I know, but that goes on. I mean, you don't have to state that, but it just was like, dude.
Be clear,
like,
though. Everyone in the room was very Caucasian.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
So when Caucasian dude got up there and did said, like, you know, hip hop experiment on us, it was really random, man. It was super unexpected.
And then I saw him at church on Sunday.
Wait, what?
Just this past weekend. Well, by the time this releases, it will have been two weekends ago. He goes to the same church that I do.
Wow. You didn't mention that, Pipe. That changes
I didn't know
everything.
That at the time. I did not put two and two together, but I know it now.
Pipe, does he go to your church or did he go to your church because he knew you were there, dude? That's the question.
I don't believe that I have a listener stalker this time. I believe he was at the church actually before I began attending there.
All right.
So he's legit and also a very nice person who did catch us all off guard with the spoken word rap thing.
That was epic, man. That was a highlight. There's no doubt
really,
about that.
We have really cool listeners. I mean, not cool in the sense of like Carl Lentz cool. Nobody in the room looked
like that. No one was that cool.
Cool, like fun to hang out with.
See, those are things we need to clarify. We don't need to. That's what we need to clarify. We don't need to,
No other caveats. I'm not apologizing. I am clarifying. Not Carl Lentz. Very fun to hang out with. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, dude.
And the sheet cake was excellent.
It was.
Big R. I didn't have any of the sheet cake because I'm not doing that. So how was it? Was it legit?
Put the scrawny and Ronnie. Got to mention that. So maybe.
Oh, say it
again. Are you at like the whole 90 now? Where are you at?
I'm on Hole Forever. It's called Hole Forever.
He's just on awful. Eating paper, but he can eat all the paper he wants.
Holeforever.org.
Another highlight was when Ronnie affirmed to the one non-reformed guy in the room, or at least the one who was willing
to
say that he too can be saved. Thank you for clarifying that, Ronnie.
Dude, I just loved it that he was the only guy that raised his hand when I asked if there were any non-reformed guys in the room. And this guy's hand feebly, like, just kind of popped up like the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown out of the pumpkin patch. He just kind of went whoop like that, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the bravest dude we've ever met in our lives, man. And so,
and
obviously,
to the credit of our other listener attendees, nobody shamed him that I saw. There was no like booing.
Yeah, other than me,
the church crowd. Really
mature. No sort of smugness. Yeah. I mean, it was way more mature than us. We grilled him, but
Dude, that's part of the deal, man. That's part of the deal for our live shows is we get to grill. Absolutely. That's the fun of it. But that was an amazing moment when that guy Great Pumpkined up out of the patch. That was insane to me. That in like hip hop rap battle thing or whatever that guy was throwing down, Ray or your buddy from Ray's church. I mean, that was insane to me. That was big.
Again, to clarify, not Ray Ortland, somebody who attends his church. If Ray Ortland had come up and done a spoken word, that would have been the highlight of, well, my entire life, but that didn't happen.
What are we just being all careful now? Of course it wasn't Ray Ortland. Now we gotta, I say the word Ray Ortland and now we gotta qualify it to the moon. I mean, it's just
trying to, I don't want there to be any accusations of slander on this episode.
I mean, I just don't even know what podcast I'm on anymore. I don't even know where I'm at. I don't even know what we're doing right now.
To clarify, this is the
Happy. You know what my favorite thing about the whole Live in Louisville experience was? Besides the woodworking and the metallurgy that we got to do at Sojourn East. My favorite thing was the hipster Airbnb that Ron booked us into, which was, quote, right around the corner from the church. And just a quick 35-minute drive
Ohio.
To the meatpacking district of Louisville later.
Maybe it was 13 minutes.
He actually booked one closer to Ashland, Ohio than to the
It was halfway to Ashtown. But no, that's not what's my favorite about the hipster Airbnb. My favorite thing about it was beautiful, like old brownstone. It was across the street from an abandoned factory, which is the best thing from a hipster standpoint.
I think you had to park in a strip club parking lot and then walk half a block to the thing. Yeah. Something along those lines.
That was great too. But my favorite thing about it, Pipe, was the fact that, you know, you and I went upstairs to our like Victorian era bedrooms, separate bedrooms. And
to clarify.
Yeah. I laid down and I was like, what's that noise? And it sounded like an 18-wheeler rumbling past my head about every 35 seconds. And it's because I could lift the window of my bedroom and stick my arm out and touch I-65 South from the hipster B&B. So it was a beautiful place.
Did you roll the tip of your finger across many a driver's seat
exactly.
window?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I just like to reach out and touch the driver's seat windows along I-65.
Man, we should have switched rooms because I grew up in a house that was literally, it was on I-35. Mm. And the sound of traffic is like the most soothing put me to sleep sound of any sound in the world.
Interesting.
So we should have switched.
Baby, would it have been better if you would have been sleeping in the kitchen like me and Big
M? You guys were in the kitchen. I mean,
dude, insane, yeah, man. I mean, literally the bedroom was in the kitchen.
Some, you know, some bacon was, or bacon omelets.
Like, I think the room that you guys were in was the was originally like the dining room, because you walk in the front door, there's like a little parlor, sure, living room, then the dining room, except it has a queen size bed in it, and then there's a kitchen. So yeah, it was an odd place.
Yeah, that's like crazy Airbnb owners are like, dude, we're gonna turn every room in the house into a bedroom. I mean, we're just gonna chock this house full of rooms. Mm. You know what I mean? It was like a whatchamacallit bar, man. We're just going to fit everything delicious into this. Yeah, absolutely. Dude, you know what's crazy? Let me just go off of that for one second. Tell me about your whatchamacallits in it.
Yeah, maybe my first whatchamacallit bar that I'd ever eaten in my life, I ate it live and loose.
See, that's what shocks me, Big T, because when I brought my crew with me from Sub, man, everybody was like, what's a whatchamacallit? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, is that
a West Coast bar? Is that what we're talking about?
If our listeners aren't familiar with whatchamacallit, what it is actually, and I found this out at Live in Louisville, it's actually just a really mediocre third tier candy bar.
You have lost your mind, Big T. Mm. What do you mean mediocre? What do you mean? What didn't you love about it?
It tastes like,
dude, it's my favorite candy bar of all time.
It tastes also like a gas station protein bar. You know what I mean? Like an off-brand gas station protein bar.
Oh my gosh, man. I don't know.
That description, a mediocre third-tier candy bar, makes it very clearly the fitting official candy bar of this podcast.
Right. And you know what? I mean, just to be fair to whatchamacallit, I just want them to know that I'm being satirical. Okay. So tongue-in-cheek as I talk about their pride, it's a wonderful product and they're wonderful people.
The makers of whatchamacallit, man. They're good people, Big T. They're a family that goes back. They're an Italian family that goes back generations.
It's a family business, you know, and they put a lot of love into those third tier candy bars.
It's like watching Godfather Part 1s, 2, and 3.
Right. Fredo runs whatchamacallit now. So
it's Fredo. It's always been Fredo's company. When hasn't it been Fredo's
pull
company?
Me a Fredo.
From the bottom of Lake Tahoe.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Insane. Boys, I want to promote one more thing, and then I have to sign off because, fun fact, my studio is about to die, and by that I mean my laptop. Boys, before we leave here, I've got one item of breaking news, and then I want to talk about...
Where's the breaking news music?
I received a text from one Hector Lagares of Lagares Roasters. He is our official Puerto Rican coffee provider of the Happy Rant podcast. And he texted me to let me know that his product and our product, Happy Rant Signature Blend, is now being sold in the exclusive hipster grocery store here in Jackson, Tennessee. It's called Grubbs Grocery. Everything at Grubbs is very expensive and very hipster. So congrats to Hector Lagares. Congrats to Grubbs Hipster Grocery Store for stocking a wonderful product.
Dude, that's huge.
Yeah, it's really big, man. I'm stoked for Heck.
I'm stoked for us. I feel like, I mean, the hits just keep on coming, but they're good hits. They're home run hits.
That's true. That means we're like pseudo stocked in a grocery store.
Absolutely.
Now.
Yeah. In a way, we're all stocked.
How many clicks you got on the computer? Where are we at with that? Are you almost out of juice?
Baby, I'm just about to die. So what I want to do is promo Live in Louisville 2. Which I think we're calling something else. What are we calling this, Big R?
Yeah, for the ninth time, it's called T4R. It's happening on April 10th, the night before Together for the Gospel. We want to invite everybody out for really, I think, probably the biggest event of 2018, which we're calling Together for the Rant.
Just rolls off the tongue. It's amazing I forgot that nine times.
Yeah, I know. It went 9, 19. I forget you. Yeah, I forget how many times. I lost count.
T4R could also stand for Together for Reformed, but that's actually the conference that's happening the next day. That's Together for the Gospel. So T4R, Together for the Rant. If you go to happyrantpodcast.com, we already have it up there and you can get your tickets now. So I'd say just
go do it.
That's what people
It's going to sell out, boys, because we filled the room. At Sojourn East, we filled the other room, the John Calvin bronze bust room, and now we're playing the big room, boys.
Now we're playing the big room because we're going to need the space, and so we want to encourage everybody to get tickets early because this will be the event.
It is the event.
It will be the event. There will be a red carpet. There will be red carpet photo opportunities. Carl Lentz, I'm sure, will be there. And it's going to be the radio event of the century. Boys, thank you for promoing that. Thank you for being a part of it. And thank you for a lot of good talking on this program. I've enjoyed being back in the studio. I felt a little glum that we weren't all together there in Louisville again. But you know, just business as usual here for us on the show. This is what you have to do when you're a radio pro. Any parting words, boys, before I sign us off?
None.
Ron?
None.
Unless we need to qualify what it is you're about to say to sign us off. And then let's
I feel like you're hurt. I feel like you're wounded about my whatchamacallit comment, but we can address that off the air if we need to.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
Boys, we have done what we always do on this program in that we've wandered to and fro. And until next time, and until Together for the Rant, Rachel the Held Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
It's a crazy world out there, moms and dads. I'm Catherine Seegers, host of Christian Parent Crazy World, the podcast that tackles tough topics to help you be a godly parent in an ungodly world. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.